Jim and Tommy in the morning. It's the pre-flight and it's morning. Wake up now, please, no more snoring. It's the morning pre-flight in the morning. They're the station, sleepy morning. Jim and Tommy in the morning.
The most meh
duo you have ever seen.
There's a video stream now, so you can see that.
After a break and one's not back, they're on the toilet, probably.
I don't know if we can say that.
Jim and Tommy in the morning. It's the pre-flight and it's morning. Jim will hide behind his giant screen.
Jim and Tommy in the morning.
They'll crack some jokes. Tommy will hum the theme.
It's the pre-flight and it's morning.
Jim will come to break some news.
Unless this is different here.
Pat St. John is the weather dude.
Maybe.
Jim and Tommy in the morning. It's the pre-flight and it's morning. Where's Al Brian? This is boring. It's the morning pre-flight in the morning.
It is the morning pre-flight in the morning. I'm Tommy.
It would be weird if the morning pre-flight was in the afternoon. I'm just saying.
I mean, we could do it. We could do it. Let's make it happen. Radio history.
Fair enough.
The morning show in the afternoon. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Since you want to introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm just the voice in the corner. Never mind me.
That's fair.
Yeah.
It's Oshkosh 2026, folks. AirVenture has begun, or does in what, like, I think we're ahead.
Technically,
of the curve.
They say 7 a.m. is the start time, but I mean,
why are
already,
we here?
Right? No, there's already some things going on.
Absolutely.
If you check out the things around the grounds, and but you know, if you look at the schedule, the first scheduled event isn't until 7 a.m., I believe.
Sure.
Maybe the balloon thing down at the Fun Fly Zone.
Yes, the balloon thing.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be a clown making animals and
not that
no,
balloon.
Oh, no, not that one. Sorry. No, I think you mean,
you know,
the,
that would be a totally a good, like,
do they call it
thing.
Burn or any
yeah.
inflate
or something like that. I'm trying to find the details out of it. It is scheduled for this morning. I'm just trying to see what time it was.
Fair enough.
Actually set up for, but nonetheless, yeah. The day has begun for us, so that's, I guess,
yes, it has.
That's what counts. And for the poor souls that are trying to listen to this to figure out what they're doing for the day.
Yes, if you have better suggestions for a morning show, you can join us in studio.
Then we can
you
sleep
can text
in.
Us 920-550-1210. If you are utilizing Blue Sky, we see those messages as well. So hashtag Osh26 or just add us at earadio.net and we will see your Blue Sky messages.
Right now. So. For some reason, I know I saw the balloons on the list for today, but for some reason, all I can see is at 7 a.m. the yoga session starts at the EA Women Venture.
Wow.
So go stretch.
Yes. I was going to tell you you should get out there, and then you said Women Venture. I'm like, maybe not. I'm sure they're open.
I'm sure but they are, but yes.
Yeah.
Hey, that is right next to us, too. So
it is.
Yeah.
Directly to our west. So
right on.
Look at me. I know directions because of the giant compass rose out here.
Yes.
Also known as the runway.
Oh, yeah, good point, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's, I didn't that's know that's how I remember.
I thought you were referring to the actual like compass at the four corners.
No,
I down there.
I mean, that's also fair, but I opt for the giant one over
right. I was giving some of the security guards some good ribbon when they were you know, pre-show. They have that beautiful painted compass rose on there, and they block off traffic, and you have to drive around it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was waiting for a plane that was going to come through there, and I looked at one of the security guards. I'm like, did you ever think that your career is going to be guarding paint?
Yeah. Way to make friends, Jim. Way to make friends.
Well, you know, point was made.
I mean, it's fair because
nothing
gets filthy very quickly.
Well, and especially during the build-up when you've got all the trucks and stuff rolling through here. I 100% understand why they're doing it. It's just an odd giggle factor kind of thing of...
Oh yeah, we were surprised yesterday when we were allowed to drive across it and not do the roundabout deal.
That's hilarious.
And it's like, oh, really? No, 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 come on through. Okay. Right. You said so, right? Can I get your name and badge number?
Exactly.
Yep.
So we got some heavy metal sitting out on Boeing Plaza.
Yeah.
Saw that come in yesterday.
Couple things. Some really heavy metal, but some slightly smaller, but very large nonetheless.
Well, it's after the C-5 lands, everything else is like...
Yeah, everything else is dwarfed. But, I mean, there's a C-17 out there. There's a C-130 on skis.
The C-17 and the C-5 are out there?
Is that not it in the foreground? Because the...
Yeah.
Yeah. There's that.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Exactly my point.
I do know a couple points.
The fact that there's a C-17 sitting on the on Boeing Plaza, I didn't even notice because there's a
C-5. Because there's a giant C-5 in the background? Yeah, exactly. It's huge.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And then there's a little bitty baby plane right in front of it, which I'm not sure what that is.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what that's about.
I suspect some sort of military... what's the word I'm looking for?
Liaison.
Liaison jet or possibly for doing like weather tracking experiments, stuff like that. I'm not sure.
It could be.
Sorry, guys. It's a tiny screen across the room, so
right.
I don't have good detail.
Not wearing the right glasses for that distance.
Somebody want to grab the binoculars out of the front desk for Jim here? You can see the screen across the room.
I need it to be bigger.
Yes, clearly.
Yeah. No, there's...
What's that guy? There's another one out there. Another big Navy...
Yeah. Honestly, not too sure.
Navy
plane. Can't quite see what it is. The C-130... Oh boy, was it a HJ? Okay, I'm trying to remember the designation.
I want to say that's a J.
It's a, yeah.
It's not an H because of the...
It's a J model, but it's a something C. It's like an HC-130 or something like that.
That way because... Of, in the front of it.
Because it's... that designation changes with the build out of it, but it's got skis.
I don't know. My dad, who's not even here, sent me a message and told me what it was. So I'll look that up. He's like, "Hey, you got one of those?" He was very excited.
Well, and it's kind of rare to see something like that. You know, there's so many different variations on that thing. LC-130, that's what it is. There's so many different variations of the C-130 because of its different mission capabilities and stuff. And we've seen several of them out here. I have seen that C-130 on skis here before, but boy, it's been a long time.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's something that large on skis is pretty ridiculous. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever seen it. They used to put DC-3s on floats.
Yes.
Yeah. It gives me that kind of feeling, like, why is this like this? You know, and it just looks odd in its size.
I mean, so this is where I'm going to get on my soapbox that I borrow from my father. But the C-130 is one of the most versatile aircrafts that they've made between the skis, the gunship model, the cargo carrying ability, the troop carrying ability, and you know, strapping. That's what I was talking about, the gunship, but also you know when you strap JATOs to the back of it and launch off a carrier, which is still amazing to watch.
I really wish that they still did that demo with Fat Albert.
That would be so cool.
And it's older than people think. It's been around for a lot longer than people think. Mm-hmm. First flew in 1956.
Very old aircraft. Still in service.
But they keep retweaking it and extending it. Mm-hmm. Like it's literally grown over the years.
You just add more. You add more blades. That's all you got to do.
Well, that's
they went from 3 to 4 to 6.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what the J designation is, isn't it?
That's when they went to the 6 and the twist and the engines changed slightly. If I remember right.
Right.
Something else too, but. The H added the outboard tanks too,
because
they didn't have those before.
And I can't remember which model was it that where they extended the actual length of the fuselage.
Yeah, my history's not that good.
Yeah,
where's my dad when I need you?
Right. Well, there was a couple years here where they had an older example and a newer example. It is pretty obvious when you see them sitting side by side. There's a whole lot of extra airplane going on.
Oh yeah, that's all right. Pesky air show, I tell you. You can chime in as well on the YouTube chat if you want to join us there. You can head out to youtube.com/@EAA radio. Just search for us. You'll find us just fine. So, or hit earadio.net for all of our offerings. So
yes, good. Here, let me Google that for you, and you'll find us. No.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it was pretty cool coming in today and checking out the C-5 dominating the plaza, as it were. And as much as we all hate the smoke right now, it did make for a rather pretty picture because it had a nice red background.
Yes, it did. It was very nice.
I actually had to stop and take a picture. I'm on my way in.
I'm sure Jonathan's back with weather this year. I'm sure we'll get an air quality report out of Jonathan. Hope you're listening, Jonathan. Bring an air quality report.
Yeah.
I don't know. I suspect it's better than it's been the last couple of days, but I don't quote me on that, folks.
I'm not
a scientist. I only play one on the radio.
Yeah, that it's.
My lungs feel better? I don't know.
Mine do not. I'm sitting over here thinking like I just smoked a couple packs of unfiltered something or other.
You were never a smoker, though.
No, I was never a smoker. Yeah.
See, you haven't exercised your lungs enough.
That's what that is. Smoking is exercising your lungs.
I mean, clearly, mine are handling it just fine.
No, I am not doing too well with the. With the smokiness.
This PSA brought to you by EA. No.
It's just in. It sucks.
Yes.
We'll hear a little bit about that. We did hear that there was, two nights ago, the night that was so hot that we had the air quality index, if you go over 25, it's considered unhealthy. Mm. It was over 400 that night.
Yes. Yes. It was rough. And it was supposed to go down that night. I think some of the rain was going to disperse some of it. It didn't. Yeah. It did nothing. It didn't rain. And it went over 400 instead of dropping from 300. It went up. So super fun. I don't know if you saw the UP of Michigan was up around 1,100 that night.
Yeah.
It was just kind of crazy.
No fun.
Canada, stop it.
And northern Minnesota, to be fair. We've got lots of stuff burning up there,
again,
too.
Again, you guys are just a colony. So just South Central Canada, anyway.
Thanks.
No problem. Yeah, it's about that time.
It is.
All right, folks. We'll be back in a bit. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EA Radio.
This is their daily 2 hours of enrichment time.
Can I pet that dog?
Just let them have it.
Can I pet that dog?
It's the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
Somebody got a dog?
Can I touch that pine?
can I touch that pine? I went southern. That was not good. No?
No. Okay.
Okay. My producer's yelling at me.
We can't touch the
pine. She does that every day. So
there is a lot of people that are like wanting to put hand to airplane.
Yeah, it's not that you can't touch. You have to ask before you touch.
Right.
There's a promo for that, a PSA for that.
You need aviation consent. We tell you all about it.
Yes, exactly.
There's lots of planes that you can look but not touch.
Yes, exactly.
There was every now and then they'll have something that is there. I don't know if it's just like a cathartic, sacrificial plane, like, sure, climb all over this. They used to have a couple of those out here, and I haven't seen that in a bit, but
could be.
So can you touch that plane? No you can't. All right. Looking at our ADS-B stream, since I'm there, you can tell the airfield isn't quite open yet.
Not quite. Seven?
Incoming, you know, I believe for incoming it is. It is 6 a.m. for departures, typically. Gotcha. There is typically not anything for arrivals until 7. Who would know right now, because we've had so much visibility problems to be able to say when are we actually going to be able to, have airplanes show up at our air show.
Well, they came in droves last night. I don't know if you've seen the videos or the time lapses of the ADS-B. It is kind of insane. Really cool. But I forget when VFR opened up. I want to say it was after 2 or 3, somewhere around that time. I'm guessing, folks. But and everything just went from, just kind of jumbled aircraft in the sky as you see them, going on their way, to this line forming of... It looked like an ant colony. It's kind of crazy. Very cool.
I was, and I don't know what this is. It was interesting to see where people were waiting, because there's a lot of, I heard that was absolutely crazy in Fond du Lac, which was interesting because evidently Fond du Lac only, 15 miles away, something like that?
Yeah, 10
miles
it's not away. Far.
Evidently, they had enough visibility for incoming aircraft because there were people that were, landing in Fond du Lac to wait, or they were landing in Fond du Lac to refuel so that they could get back up in the air and wait, but there was also just like, I don't know, I'm going to call it random meandering around the outskirts of the airspace, waiting for that to open up, and I don't know if that was some people that were like hanging out like above the area of haze, so they had some better visibility up a little bit. But it was just a, you know, kind of a hornet's nest kind of scenario where it wasn't exactly coordinated, but everybody was just kind of buzzing around waiting for things to pop open. So, but so far this morning, it looks, just by looking out the window, it looks better than it has in a bit. I'm hoping that the rain that comes through here later today is going to change the weather pattern enough to clear some stuff up for a bit.
I certainly hope so. But when we were, I haven't checked the forecast this morning, but when we checked right before bed, it was diminishing.
Yeah.
The likelihood of rain was getting less and less. Here's that video. I'll try to get it posted on our Instagram later, but nice. This is the time lapse. It's kind of insane to watch it just form into a line. And yeah, it was just before two. It went to marginal VFR before that, but
yeah.
Just crazy.
And it, to be expected. I mean, you've got all these people waiting to get here, and now here's the moment, so everybody shows up.
I mean,
it like concentrated the already concentrated amount of people that are here. So,
no, I'm sure the pilots don't always love it, particularly when they're waiting and then right. It's twice as busy. As a spectator on the ground and an aviation enthusiast, I love it. That's my favorite part, to watch the conga line come in and then just watch plane after plane after plane land. It's just so fascinating. It's a amazing, you know, aerial, and ballet is probably an overstatement, but you know what I mean?
I don't know that it is.
It's a coordinated march, I guess.
Yeah, the amount of coordination it takes to do that.
And, it's so cool.
You know, I've seen several people post videos kind of like what you showed there, or pictures of of that, and everybody's like, oh my God, this has got to be so horribly unsafe, and you know, this can't not end badly. And it's like, nope, these are all very well-trained people on the ground for the controllers, with a very specifically published, you know, process and procedure for this. And it just works out. The other thing that is very deceiving is that, you know, even when you zoom in on a lot of these things, it looks like the planes are on top of each other.
Yeah.
We're still maintaining the I think it's quarter mile separation, you know, so I mean, it's there. And I'd like to remind people, you know, quarter mile separation, you don't do that in your car, you know, and in that pattern, you're supposed to be at 90 knots, you know, so think about that. If you're in your car doing 75, 80 miles an hour, as a lot of the, you know, interstates are, you're not putting a quarter mile between you and every other vehicle out there.
No, absolutely
not.
You
know, and you only have one plane of ways of avoiding them if there's an issue.
Sure.
You know, you can only go left, right. I can go up, down if I wanted to avoid things. I actually have more means of avoiding hitting things, and I'm giving myself more space.
I mean, you're kind of neglecting the whole idea of brakes. I don't think, you know, yes, you can slow down. I understand that, but there's not active braking in the same fashion on most of these aircraft that are coming in this way. But yeah, no, fair though. You've got, you know, all dimensions, three dimensions of escape.
Yeah.
Should you need it.
And you could see, even in that video there where they were having to break off, you know, people that were getting a little bit too close in, okay, you know, break off and rejoin.
Yep.
You know, and that's what that, it looked like it was just circulating there. You know, that was people that they were having to send back around to get back in line. You know, so, I mean, it's, the Fisk arrival is a bit, it looks more daunting than it actually is. As long as you can find that line, that finding finding the railroad tracks.
Yes. As long as you're also a skilled pilot, have read the notice.
Did you see the thing that they had online where you could fly the Fisk approach online?
Really? Like, specifically? Or, like, are you talking SimVenture like they do every year?
SimVenture where you can fly the Fisk approach
And they have actual controllers and stuff. Yeah, it's very cool. They do it every year now. God, it goes back a ways, but they have so there's applications you can get that are free to use that let you connect to this air traffic controlled network that simmers use, and then you're all flying in on the Fisk approach. And for SimVenture, they utilize, I believe they use utilize X-Plane for that, as opposed to Flight Simulator. I could be wrong on that, but that's what I thought I saw this year. But it's a really neat thing because you're seeing all the same, you know, things that you would see in the real world. You know, granted, virtually, but it's still a really slick event. And for somebody like me who, you know, doesn't fly, but can, you know, but I know my way around a flight sim, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And there are those tools that are out there that, again, just make it that much easier and safer for that to happen. And I think that the fact that we do these things and we do them with almost unmitigated success.
Yep.
You know, and those things that are not exactly successful are almost always one idiot doing something dumb. Yeah. You know? That we had the
knock on wood. I haven't seen it yet this year. So,
you know, there was the famous one from last year.
Yes.
There is one that almost did the same thing this year. A little bit different. It was just flew in and landed on 927 the wrong way. Didn't talk to anybody. Just came right on in against the grain of traffic. Mm. Yeah.
Not the best.
Yeah.
Not the best at all.
But nonetheless, these things are out there to help this. It's not just here's the NOTAM and figure it out. Well, although it kind of used to be that way.
Yes.
But between the instrumentation that's available and GPS stuff and the, you know, efforts of the controllers, no. It looks like it's a mess. It is not. It is actually very highly organized, and even the pilots are, I won't say specially trained, but as a very well prepared, except for that one guy.
Yes.
And there's always a one guy.
Always.
Yeah.
Always a one guy. Speaking of one guy messaged in this morning. Yeah, if you're not finding our video stream on EA's site this morning, namely if you go to AirVenture and EA Live and the link's not working, we're aware of, we've contacted the web team. They've been on the ball all week, so I'm sure they'll get to it. In the meantime, simply go to earadio.net or find the EA Radio page on the website. We have links there that absolutely do work, if you want an easy way of finding us. So,
very good. Coming up later this morning, we have...
We got our buddy Dick Nipinski.
Yes.
Dick will be in at 7:15. Talk to us about the highlights of the day, the week, see what's going on. You know, some plane stuff, I guess.
There's a plane thing going on here somewhere.
Yeah. But first, 6:30, Jay's going to be in with the news.
Mm-hmm.
7 o'clock, we'll see Jonathan, Jack, maybe both. I have no idea who's coming in. Some weather dudes.
Right.
And...
usually you have some Johnny and some Jack. That's usually in the evenings, but that's...
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You can have it any time of day these days, Jim.
Nice.
And then later this morning, around 6:45, we have the folks from Ferris coming in. We're going to talk about their experience on the grounds. Ferris Gourmet Popcorn. They've got a couple stands on the grounds, and they're just going to come hang out every morning. So
nice. Going to hear about the latest in popped corn.
That's what I'm hoping.
Nice.
I'm hoping we're going to eat the latest in popcorn. That makes for great radio.
Right.
News is next. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EA Radio.
It's time for the news you need and some you don't on the Morning Pre-Flight.
Aw, Jay. You're always needed.
Oh, thank you. Is this thing on? Am I okay? Turn my headphones up. I'm becoming a music artist.
Can I get a little bit of more me in the monitors, please?
More me in the monitor. This has been the summary of my morning so far. It's not been a great Monday start for old JJ.
I don't know. This is pretty typical. Monday morning is rough. You know, we try not to schedule all the like top things that we're going to do for the week on a Monday because the chances of it going flawlessly,
zero. Never happens. Yeah. Now that I can hear myself in my headphones, that smoke is doing me wonders because I have a nice gravelly radio voice going on right now. This is great.
I don't need the extra gravel. No. And I'm fighting through the gravel. as best possible.
Well, speaking of, I'm hoping we will. I heard you guys mention the weather folks coming in, giving us a better, more update. But I do have a little bit of news to start us off on the wildfires. President Trump is suggesting Canada face tariffs, or at least a bill, for wildfire smoke that has covered large sections of the northern U.S. Trump said Sunday that he told Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney that Ottawa needed to do more to control the fires or pay some damages. More than 900 fires are currently burning across Canada, leading to smoke pollution and health alerts. Those alerts are still active today in parts of Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia, although they go as far as New York City, giving some kind of eerie photos out that way. The best I have is the Wisconsin DNR is currently putting the air quality index in this area here at Whitman Regional Field in the unhealthy range, which is around 150 AQI index.
Ew.
Yeah, not great.
How many fires did you say were burning?
Approximately 900, according to my well-placed sources of people that collate news data.
Right. I was just wondering what that was as compared to
previously.
Well, compared to previously and even compared to the number of fires that are burning in the U.S. because there is, you know, there's several hundred, you know, burning in the U.S. right now, at least according to the National and Interagency Fire Center.
Yeah, I believe there's some, it wouldn't be California if they weren't also burning a little bit. So I'm pretty sure they have some going on out there as well.
Well, West Coast fires are a thing this time of year. It's actually one of the problems that we've had was trying to get like some like water bomber type demonstrations of stuff during your ventures because they're all busy.
Right.
They're doing things right now.
I mean, the one year that they had the one water bomber. The big one.
Yeah.
That got a hold. Like, didn't it, like, we were supposed to have, like, two and one got called away.
Well, there were supposed to be other things that year besides the Martin Mars.
Not Martin Mars, sorry. Yes. Not Martian. Saying Martian, and that was wrong.
Martin Mars. And there was supposed to be others that were involved in that demonstration. They weren't available because, again, for this same reason. But where I'm originally from in northern Minnesota is very much on fire right now. And the smoke from Canada is the least of the concerns because there's, you know, smoke from your neighbor's house.
Sure.
So it's it is definitely not just a Canadian issue.
If you know somebody, reach out, say hello, check in, make sure everybody's okie dokie. Returning a little bit local here to Wisconsin, the for those from Wisconsin, this will be interesting for you. The Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley is back in the race for Wisconsin governor and getting a major endorsement. Current sitting governor Tony Evers threw his support behind Crowley after his decision to re-enter the race on Saturday, telling supporters in Milwaukee, "This election isn't too important to gamble on." Governor Evers highlighted Crowley's record in Milwaukee County and believes he's the best candidate to beat Republican Tom Tiffany in November. Crowley threw his name back in the ring following Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez's decision to call off her campaign over financial issues. In that same vein, all the candidates for governor of Wisconsin are laying out their plans for childcare. A nonpartisan forum was held in Madison yesterday, where the candidates laid out competing plans to address the childcare crisis in the Badger State. Although just five Democratic candidates were in attendance, Joel Brennan said an investment needs to be made into paying childcare workers more, while Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley mentioned the difficulties of affording daycare on Wisconsin's minimum wage. The forum just comes a few weeks before the August 11th primary.
Of course.
So plenty of, for us Wisconsin voters, there's plenty of ups and downs in the governor's race as of recently to pay attention to. So if you're not paying attention, do pay attention. Voting is important.
Yes.
Off my soapbox at this time.
Yeah. And same is definitely true happening in Minnesota as well. We've got governor race and we've got one senatorial race that is quite contentious at this point. You know, we still got to get past the primaries, but even the primaries are getting a bit weird over there.
I, being from Minnesota originally, I've had my eyes on it, and yeah, it is. I'm watching from afar, going, I don't know, man. I don't know which state, which side of the border, man.
Yeah.
Moving a little bit out into Illinois, we still consider this local news because it's Osh and three-state area is local. The Illinois State Police say they seized multiple kilos of suspected cocaine in a bust along I-55 late last week. It happened in Livingston County near Odell, according to the reports. In Illinois State Police shared a photo of dozens of individually packaged bricks of drugs to the local media. Information on what charges have been filed has not been released. An investigation is still underway, according to officials. So they want you to know that they have it, but they don't want you to know what they know other than right. that they have it.
We know things.
We do things here.
Yes.
If it's not cocaine, like, what is it?
Powdered sugar?
Like, how is it suspected?
Well, you never know. I mean, you can have powdered heroin.
I mean, isn't that like the legal standby is until it goes through the court system, yeah. everything is alleged, everything yes. is suspected. Right. That's just the way it be. Got a few fun ones here for you. From the World Cup that just finished up yesterday, new data shows that the World Cup raised consumer spending around the U.S. in the month of June. The Bank of America Institute found that consumer spending using credit and debit cards increased over 6% from a year ago. That's the biggest jump in over 4 years. The BOA data shows higher consumer spending, mainly at restaurants and bars. It also found many lower-income households increased their spending at local businesses in host cities. So yeah. it sounded like the World Cup did what we kind of expected, what hoped it would do yeah. while here.
Generally, I mean, that's going to be what happens when you have a big event in a town of any size. I mean, you know, look what's happening around us right now.
Right, right.
You know, not that Oshkosh doesn't exist for the other, you know, 51 weeks out of the year. It does. But the financial impact of this event here is massive. You know, there are places, including some restaurants and things that I was talking to, that they rely on the expected bump that they get from this event to say, can they survive the rest of the year? You know, because it's such a major impact.
And I see that with some of the vendors, local vendors that come in, mm-hmm. like some of the restaurants we eat at on site and whatever, that I think they consider it dumb to not show up on grounds oh, yeah. or make the effort to do some of the extra work. Because, yeah, you have a million brand new customers standing right there
yes.
in your doorstep. So kudos.
Mm-hmm.
Florida man story for you.
Yeah.
A 40-year-old man is under arrest after he was found walking around naked and behaving erratically in New Smyrna Beach in Florida. Justin Stanley was spotted behind a Circle K on Thursday afternoon. He was arrested and charged with disorderly conduct, battery on law enforcement officers, and resisting arrest. Authorities say he was high on drugs at the time. They say this is not Stanley's first run-in with the law.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Some more World Cup aviation fun news for you. Soccer fans are flying out of New Jersey and New York today after a thrilling World Cup finale, where they saw Spain beat Argentina 1-0. The New York and New Jersey host committee is touting the tournament as an economic success, as we discussed. The committee says there was sellouts for all eight matches, resulting in 645,000 tickets sold. The committee says data shows more than $2 billion of economic impact and $200 million in tax revenue through the first five games, with numbers not yet in for the last three matches.
You know, they came here, they did good things, they spent money, they saw the games, and then we're going to make them fly out of Newark on the way home? I mean, come on.
Yeah,
if we want them back, that's not a good idea.
No, you should have scattered them. I mean, not that, there's not really a good airport in that area for, like, I mean, I've traveled through a few of them in that area, and yeah. there's not fun ones to get through.
And Newark seems to be the poster child of the things going wrong at either airports or controls or systems and procedures. And it seems like everything that goes wrong, nearly everything goes wrong, Newark is the example of this. Here's an example of why it needs to change, or the worst case scenarios.
I used to work for a specific government organization that works out of various federal or bigger airports.
Right, thousands standing around.
Thousands of standing around. Yep.
Yes.
And yeah, Newark was lots of good training material, as we called it, came out of Newark.
See, and that's just it. It's not just the flight operations. It's not just the technology or the controllers or anything else. It's like all of the concentrated weirdness and not goodness that is air travel is concentrated in Newark. I don't know why.
I don't know why either, with Atlanta being like the world's busiest airport for like the last 25 mm-hmm. years, in the last 25 years, and not nearly as much came out of Atlanta, the busiest airport, as it right. did out of Newark. This is a very astute observation this morning.
Yeah, exactly. And if I may say so myself, MSP, Minneapolis.
A fantastic airport.
Always has been highly rated on everything, even in the worst of times. And you're looking at all these horrible lines and waits and different scenarios, and it's like none of this is hitting Minneapolis. So it's a little bubble of the opposite of Newark.
I will say I've been on the receiving end of making that happen, and sometimes it's there's an expense paid by certain folks in gotcha. That regard that we don't always agree with.
All right, Jay, we got more coming up. This is EA Radio.
More news you can use, or probably not, on the morning pre-flight.
Probably not.
When can we not use more Florida Man stories? I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, I do have have another one. You wouldn't be news without at least a couple of Florida Man stories a day.
Yeah. Before you get into that, I will say I've been watching the ADS-B, it looks like we had a couple of planes that were trying to get a little bit early, and they made a break off. Now they're looping back around. So
I heard you guys talking about the planes coming in yesterday. I know you could tell when the airfield shut off because like there was the line to, mm-hmm. for Fisk, yeah. and then they closed the airfield, and then you just saw the breakaway. Except for there was one jet that was like, nah, we're coming in.
Well, if you're IFR, your IFR requirements are a little bit less. So there was the IFR traffic was still happening, even like earlier, like midday before we had our official 3-mile visibilities. So you could still pull in IFR.
Mm, so, good to know.
Yeah.
And this is why I should know more about plane stuff.
It's not like we're doing an airplane thing at an air show. No, no.
Yeah. But, sorry. I'm here for one thing and one thing only, Jim, and that is news.
And that is Florida Man.
No, again, we've got to wait for the good ones. Coming out of Silver Spring, Maryland, the FDA says a sample of the shredded iceberg lettuce produced by a Taylor Farms subsidiary in Mexico tested positive for cyclospora. Try saying that 3 times fast. In the Saturday update, federal officials said the product was not part of the lettuce that was recalled so far. The FDA said the contaminated sample was collected during the agency's ongoing outbreak investigation of the cyclospora, a parasite that causes severe intestinal illness, which is what I'm officially going to refer to all problems in that area as now, severe intestinal illness.
I live with severe intestinal
illness. That's just a state of life.
I feel like
life.
One of those medication ads. I live with severe intestinal illness.
Where one of the side effects is more severe intestinal yes. illness.
Now from Glaxo Welcome.
Glaxo Welcome. That's a good one. I'm going to steal it.
Glaxo Welcome. That's an actual pharmaceutical company.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh. I'm probably mispronouncing it.
I'm not going to steal it then. That'd be corporate espionage, and I can't afford that.
No. Not a newsman salary.
Wait, I have a salary?
Yep.
Food. That's what the salary is.
3% higher than last year.
The agency said Taylor Farms has confirmed the positive product is not part of their current recall, but will not be allowed to enter the marketplace. So they caught it before it went out, so that is good. In Issaquah, Washington, Costco has added a new item to its food court menu. The retail giant now offers chicken strips along with its other popular food court items. According to Costco, a single order includes 5 large chicken breast strips and a container of dipping sauce for $6.99. The item was tested in stores earlier this year and is now being reported at Costco warehouses nationally.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I've already seen that in the one nearest us. So
I don't shop at Costco, so I hear good things.
I can hook you up if you need some.
I mean,
I got one of the fancy memberships.
3,000 months
supply. You say that. But going back to living with severe intestinal illness, you can buy giant things of toilet paper and wipes.
And that is what I would buy.
Yes.
Worth it. Sacramento, officials say a disagreement among neighbors led to 2 wheelchair-bound victims being stabbed in South Natomas. According to officials over the weekend, the incident happened Thursday in the area of Rosen Court. When officers arrived, there had already been an altercation between a wheelchair-bound couple and their neighbor. The couple was stabbed by the neighbor. The neighbor also suffered a stab injury, and all three were taken to the hospital and treated.
Wait, so who did the stabbing? If I understand it, the wheelchair person did the stabbing?
Everybody got stabbed.
I mean, everybody did, but who started the stabbing?
I think the neighbor is how I'm reading this, is that the neighbor started it, and the wheelchair couple finished it.
Wow.
The suspect who stabbed the couple was arrested. So by that last line there, I'm guessing somebody got theirs.
What state were we in?
That was California. We're not to Florida yet.
No.
Mount Juliet, Tennessee.
Stay classy. California.
I was trying to find something from like the middle of the country, but it must have been a quiet weekend for non-coastal.
In flyover country, as they say. Yeah.
Mount Juliet, Tennessee. Mount Juliet police say quick thinking by Target employees helped to lead to an arrest in a string of shoplifting cases. Officers arrested a 55-year-old Hermitage woman Saturday night after investigators connected her to three thefts at the same Target store. Police say employees recovered some stolen merchandise and provided vehicle information after the suspect fled, allowing officers to stop her on I-40 West. She's now facing three shoplifting charges, a charge for possession of burglary tools, and drug possession charge as well, on top of all that.
Hmm.
I used to do loss prevention for a sporting goods store as a college job, and people get very creative and not creative in their theft. We had people would bring in false bottom bags and like they legit were like, I'm planning and this is sure. what I'm doing. And then we literally had somebody one time that literally came in, just grabbed a bunch of stuff off the rack and then ran out the door. By that point, the police were already there for it. It was in a mall.
Sometimes it's more effective. I don't know. Just run.
But then it was interesting because they were running and then you just saw stuff scattering through the air as the police were chasing them. They're trying to ditch everything. So it was comical in that regard.
Sure.
To see that.
Too funny.
Speaking of some flyover states in South Dakota, Blackhawk, South Dakota, homeowners in Hideaway Hills are unsure about what to do after a controversial Supreme Court decision. The neighborhood sits over an old gypsum mine that caused a sinkhole 6 years ago in western South Dakota. No one has been able to live in the homes, but owners are still responsible for maintaining them. The Supreme Court decided that the state was not responsible for the sinkhole, despite selling the property knowing the land underneath the pilots had been chiseled out from the underground mine. Homeowners say they were not looking for handouts. They just want to be rid of the responsibility for the property.
Yeah, it seems like the disclosure should have been, mandated. I mean, there's certain things as a homeowner when you sell, you have to disclose and whatnot. And I would think a sinkhole under property.
If they knew that the mine had dug out underneath where they built, you think that would be, hey.
And if they disclose that, well, then, buyer beware. But
did you know that there's now have been two court cases that have confirmed that you must disclose if you believe that your house is haunted? That is now a actual disclosure requirement.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying not to be that guy. But I know. Come on.
I mean, if you really want to believe
in that stuff, I'm too big a skeptic.
But if you believe it is, and have reason to have believed that it was haunted, and you sell it without telling somebody, and the other person that bought it says, I'm having weird things going on, and you believe that it was haunted in the first place, you could be liable.
Do you think that's just because they secretly think that there could be a clue that somebody died in that house and that's why you have to disclose it?
I don't know.
Or that you might accidentally find a body somewhere?
Could be.
Otherwise, why are we disclosing that?
I mean, I have found a new house hunting tip in this, though, in that now I'm going to search for the lower cost houses that have been haunted, and I'm not going to be worried about it.
Find the crazy people. Buy from them.
Coming out of Texas, who is having a slightly different issue than we are up here with wildfire smoke, Canyon Lake, Texas, after recent days of heavy rains, Canyon Lake is at its highest level in years. Water data for Texas says, I put Texas there for a second, water data. My bad.
Thanks, Mater.
Water data for Texas says the popular Hill County Lake was 98% full as of Sunday. That's up from just over 76% on Friday, which was its highest level since 2023. Comal County officials say all 9 county-maintained boat ramps are still closed, which means no boat launches swimming, kayaking, or any other water activities. The inrush of flood waters brought a lot of floating debris that makes the lake potentially dangerous. So, opposite problem of what we're having up here. In Washington, D.C., National Ice Cream Day was yesterday. Data from Instacart published this month shows that vanilla is the most ordered ice cream flavor on the platform for the second straight year. The chocolate cookie dough, cookies and cream, and chocolate fudge brownie rounded out the top 5 of the most popular flavors. The data also showed that Haagen-Dazs was the most ordered ice cream brand in 2025, followed by Ben & Jerry's, Breyers, Tillamook, and Halo Top. President Ronald Reagan declared National Ice Cream Day would be celebrated on the third Sunday of July and also declared July National Ice Cream Month in 1984. So there you go. Favorite kinds of ice cream?
What do they call it? It's the butternut.
Butter pecan?
Butter pecan. There's a bunch of variations out of kind of a butterscotchy.
But I know what you're talking about. Yeah, that's a solid.
Good choice.
I'm anything with caramel in it.
I can't say mine on the radio. My producer knows exactly what I'm talking about. So there's a ice cream, we'll call them chain, in Wisconsin, I believe, called the Chocolate Shop. Chocolate Shop ice cream. Yeah. They have a flavor called this. Insert your favorite adjective here or noun here. Just got serious. And it is salted caramel ice cream with cashews and ribbons of fudge. Salted fudge. And it is amazing.
I have something to seek out after the show.
Oh, it is
week.
Very, very good.
Is there her chocolate shop in Oshkosh? Maybe I need
I don't
to
know. I don't know. Otherwise, there's one like 5 minutes from your house.
that I do know. I've seen it. It's just not gone. And now I need to.
It's very good. Highly recommend. By the way, if you order the pizza chain that's in our area, Glass Nickel, they'll deliver the ice cream to you, too, which is a very dangerous present.
Nice. I don't know if I would like Uber Eats
if I'm ordering a pizza, though, anyway, and then, like, ooh, I could also get some dessert, you know, like, maybe if I'm backed up, but, you know.
delivered ice cream.
It works. Here's what I will say. You know how you buy a pint out of the freezer section and it's rock hard and you can't scoop? It comes at a perfect level of softness. So
I suppose.
And you're... leftover Florida Man stories and have to wait till tomorrow. I don't have enough time to give it to you. So tune in tomorrow morning for news where I will give you the lost Florida Man story.
Nice.
You'll get 3 tomorrow.
Yay. Ooh, good stuff. All right. I believe weather or not is coming up next. No, that's a different show and that's later today.
Right.
All right. Weather with Jonathan and maybe Jack. Don't know. Up next, this is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.
EAA Radio's weather team is comprised of meteorology students from St. Cloud State University. Remember to personally evaluate the weather or get a weather briefing from Flight Service before you go flying.
The sun is not coming. It's too smoky.
Right there. Right.
No, it's just making the smoke glow in the sky. I'm pretty sure that's all
that is. It's making it pretty.
You know, I will grant you that. The smoke has made for some very interesting... lighting and photography.
Fair enough.
I'll grant you that.
Fair enough.
It's like the moors of England of all misty, but it's not mist, it's smoke. But yeah.
Gotcha. So we doubled the size of our weather team, or what's happening?
I don't know.
Did Jonathan just bring security with him? Security detail.
I don't think we doubled the size. I think between the fact that Jonathan's a slightly under average height, and we've got 6'8" over here, I think we like tripled the size.
So barely fits in the building. So
had to duck, but we made it work.
All right.
Yeah, that's fair.
So yeah, welcome to Jack, our new meteorologist. We're going to have a 2-person weather team this year. Does that mean that we're going to be twice as good or twice as much? I don't know.
Or twice as bad? I don't know.
It depends on the day.
Okay.
Well, it could be either one.
Day by day.
It could be either one.
Welcome back, Jonathan.
Thank you.
I don't know how we convinced you to come back, but thank you. Appreciate that.
It was fun last year, so.
Good.
Got to be back.
Right on. And remind me, what year are you at SCSU now?
Senior.
Uh-oh.
Fourth year.
Okay, wait a minute. What year are you in?
I'm a senior as well.
Damn it. Okay.
Yeah.
Work hard and bring me somebody new next year.
I will.
Got it. Or, you know, or fail for another year. I don't know.
So, yeah, you can also
whatever. We'll take meeting. Either. It's fine.
All right. So we have, let's start with the elephant in the room, and that is the air quality and smoke predictions before we get into the weather. What do we know about that right now?
So right now, it's at 152 was the most recent AQI. With the storms that are coming through, either tonight or supposed to be tonight, but it's supposed to go down to, it's still going to be unhealthy for certain sensitive groups, so between 100 and 150 for today. And then the forecast for tomorrow is they're uncertain. They're just gotcha. Taking it day by day.
Got it.
Looks like, so depending on how tonight goes.
Right.
Looks like.
Is it safe to say that it's not going to be awesome?
Yes.
Yeah. that seems to be like the consensus that I was finding, because I found an awful lot of conflicting information as well. But I don't think anybody's like, oh yeah, you'll be fine after Monday. That's just not a thing yet.
It's always day of, they can tell. They can't. It all depends on the wind or if more pop up or
right.
I went into the wrong field. This just seems way easier. I don't know. Well, what's happening? I don't know. I'll tell you when we get there.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. What's the smoke forecast looks out the window?
Well, looks pretty good.
All right, thanks.
That's pretty much what it is, too. Like, even with all, like, the new... I mean, we can pretty much forecast for everything, but yet smoke is, like, one of the hardest things that
I
can lock down.
I saw a lot of that. Like, they have no real modeling for any of that, and the different factors that come into it between temperature inversions and all these factors that can... You know, yeah, there's smoke. Is it on the ground or is it up in the air? So that's going to affect the air quality index, you know, a lot. So there really is not good modeling thus far to do that. See, there you go. Senior thesis project. Anyone? Work on that.
Get a partner with like fire sciences people and figure out the heat and the, it's a lot of models.
It's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we'll just replace these guys with AI soon anyway. It's fine.
Okay. So, beyond the fact of the smoke and whatnot, you talked about a weather system coming in the near future. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So, there's supposed to be... So, we're in a level 3 out of 5 for severe.
Mm-hmm.
So, main threats for us are wind and... is wind, basically. It's supposed to start around 4 to 5 p.m. tonight. When we were watching stuff to the west... right now, where there's storms and rain popping off. Originally, when we came in, the forecast was it wasn't going to rain this morning. But now, before we came in, it's like it might rain at like an hour or so for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're keeping an eye on that. And then, I guess this stuff in the morning, too, would have an effect on stuff tonight, too.
Mm-hmm.
So if it could be a cap in there with the stuff that comes through this morning, if it actually... hits us.
I saw the zone of that level 3 was really big.
Yeah.
It took up like the whole state of Wisconsin.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, and at least from what I saw, the system wasn't that large. Was that just it's going to be in here somewhere, or is it just, is it expected to grow?
It's kind of like a needle in a haystack kind of a thing. Like it'll be somewhere,
mm-hmm.
but they don't know, or I guess we don't really know exactly what region of the state. Like if it rolls through the north, or if it ends up, like, you know, kind of sweeping down into the southern part, it's hard to know exactly. At least when they came out with that outlook.
Well, I'm sure as we progress through the day, we'll probably get some more information and be able to tighten up on some of the forecasts for that. Once we get past that tonight, what are we looking at for the rest of the week?
Very clear. I mean, it'll be but it won't be as hot.
Mm-hmm.
The smoke should move its way out, at least mm-hmm. up until Friday, which we're a little, not for the smoke, but just for some aspects of weather. We don't know that far out.
Sure.
But, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday should be in the 70s. Super nice to be outside watching.
Beautiful.
Checking out the show.
You mentioned nice to be out. The temperatures look, I'll say, pretty moderate for this time of year.
Yeah, they've been, been pretty good. I mean, it's been, obviously, we all know about the heat wave that we've kind of all been under the past couple of weeks, so it'll be a nice respite from that, for sure.
Right. Yeah, if we can stay away from the super heat and super humidity, that would be That would be awesome. For those of us that live in, you know, normally air-conditioned homes and are now dealing with the outside and yes,
sweating the guy in the night. Bazillion-dollar RV, whatever.
I do not have. I don't run air conditioning at night. Okay, I'm just saying.
So when do you run it?
Well, I
during the day to cool it down, so when you get in there, it's nice.
There are those that do. I do not. Because I can't run the AC at night, I don't run my AC basically at all when I'm out here.
Well, you're just a real man of the people. Thank you, Jim.
Compared to the other people in my camp. Compared to the other people in my camp.
Oh, I know. I know. Mm-hmm.
61 degrees.
Our resident plumber really runs that thing as much as he can.
He keeps his RV at 61 degrees inside at all times. That's 61.
That's insane.
I know. But that's running off of almost all solar.
Yeah,
for the record. I mean,
kudos.
You walk into his walk-in freezer that he calls his RV.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, he could hang meat in there.
That, I know.
Yeah.
Well, and it's it's basically a stainless steel tin box that he lined with wood inside. But
right.
He has an ambulance, converted ambulance. So.
Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, he put a mini split unit in there, so it's like highly efficient, so it can run it off batteries and solar. So it'll run all night on batteries and
it's
then
basically
solar.
Basically, that's cooling the building next door, our building next door.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So
kind of crazy.
Yeah. No, I don't AC
well,
that much.
Well, thank you, Jim.
Out here. Thank you. I'm roughing
Appreciate
it in
you.
My RV.
Yes. Okay. Roughing it. Please.
It is an interesting variety of things that we have in our
camp. I can't say that much either. You could park your RV inside my tent, I think so.
You were no kidding. Yeah, you've got like the Taj Mahal tent over there. But we have an interesting spread of different ways of camping out at our campsite. Not mine, but the RV that's butted up against mine is like a $300,000-$400,000 behemoth. It's 46 feet long, something like that.
Yeah, that thing's huge.
Right. Meanwhile, Lucas is sleeping in his car.
Yeah. Uh huh.
So,
we have a spare tent. I mean, he might prefer the car, but
you will have to talk to him about this. He built a platform in his car.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He like planned this. This isn't like I'm just going to randomly lean back and take a nap kind of stuff. No, he built a platform in his car.
Yeah, I mean we've done. Andrew and I have done car camping before, like during the pandemic in particular, we were like, we just wanted to get out and do anything.
Yeah, cramping.
I mean, we had an SUV, it wasn't that bad.
That's what the kids call it nowadays.
Cramping?
Yeah, cramping. Yeah.
Not sure that's the same thing. Cramping's what I took care of next door this morning, so.
Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
So, anyway.
What do the overnights look like, for that matter? Are we going to have.
Much like last night. Very cool. It'd be perfect sleeping conditions.
Love
with the
it.
Windows open.
That's
Love
what
that.
I want to hear.
Yep. Love that.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's the closest I get to air conditioning is I have a fan vent on the roof of the RV.
Sure.
That I have it venting out so it sucks in cool air from the windows, leave the windows cracked open.
Nice.
So long as our plumber keeps his mouth shut and I can actually sleep because he's arguing politics out in the... Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's
or running starting. Power tools.
Or running power tools. Something, one of those things. But that's the closest I get to air conditioning at night is I just vent out the roof of my RV. So
fair enough.
Yes. All right. Our weather segment in the afternoon, that's a thing, right, Tommy?
Yes. Not with these guys, though.
Right.
Mitch Sego from NOAA will be here with a different guest every day, just chatting with folks at 2 o'clock, right before the air show. So
do we have like a topic list that he's working
sure,
on?
Sure, if you check the schedule with that giant screen in front of you, you can tell
this is me. I'm throwing softballs at you.
Yes,
here.
Softballs when you know I'm not prepared is not a softball, buddy. They still hurt when they throw them at you. What do you think? I memorize all 195 spots we have in the schedule?
Yes, that's your job.
Something tells me you could.
That's my job.
Do your job.
I know a fair number of them. If you want to talk about what else is going on today, other than that blob up on that weather map up there, that radar. We've got a daily segment with NASA every day this week during Dave and Eddie's show, I believe at 8:45. That one should be really cool throughout the week. Sunday is a fantastic topic. They're literally talking about Artemis 3 on Sunday. There's some other... I'm trying to think of some of the other topics, the X-59, a couple other things. Mm-hmm. We've got dailies with NADCA. We've got dailies with a couple other folks around the grounds. Should be great. Speaking of dailies, Dick Nepinski is going to be in next and tell us all the things happening around the grounds today and hopefully the week. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll see you again tomorrow. This is the Morning Preflight on EAA Radio.
It's annual radio professionals Jim and Tommy with the Morning Preflight.
I had to mute my mic because I was going to swear.
Right here on EAA Radio.
At least I know what that button's for.
So. Yes. Yeah. We need a dumb button here.
Yeah, I'm sure we do.
I mean,
it doesn't happen that often.
Nah, we'll just hold it down for 2 hours and Dave and Eddie are on the air.
I was just going to make that joke from 8 to 10. We just hold it the whole time. Exactly. Good morning, Dick.
Good morning. Well, they're having fun anyway. Yes, nobody else
exactly.
is.
Exactly. So Dick Nepinski joining us as he does each morning at 7:15. Thanks again for coming back. Still director of communications. Is
last
that the
I looked,
title?
Yeah, that was okay. As of 6:45. I don't know if anything's changed in the last half hour, but
they're holding to that demotion.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and just he'll do this. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
And, how have you been able to duck and weave and not take on like 10 other roles, like half the staff over there?
Well, you end up doing it, but it's just kind of folded into things, you know,
sure.
Like, you know, that someplace along the way, and Dan Workman and this group of volunteers are tremendous, and I give them all the credit in the world. The pedal plane parade. I don't know, someplace along the way, suddenly I became the staff liaison for the pedal plane parade, which is wonderful. I mean, it's
kind of fun.
Wednesday at 1 o'clock, go out there on the west edge of Boeing Plaza and watch dozens and dozens of kids in pedal planes go out there. But it's one of those things like, okay, I didn't remember this in the job description at all, but I ended up with this one. And so, okay, fine. You know, it's,
we'll have to tell Murphy to get out there and get some pictures.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Corey, it's a lot of fun. They're trying for a world record. You may remember that they tried to do a Guinness world record a few years back.
I do remember that, yeah.
And you know, originally Guinness told them the kids would have to pedal 2 miles.
Yes.
And went, what?
And they needed 102 miles, right? 100 participants, 2 miles.
Yeah, it was something. And they had to be connected to one another in a distance no farther than something.
It was like two vehicles spacing.
We had the right. Those cats went well.
Yeah. So. And it was a warm day, and we found out that Celebration Way, as you go west, go slightly uphill.
Yes.
We didn't realize that at the time. And because when you're walking, you're going, okay, fine. You know, but that's, And so we got them down to about 2/3 of a mile for that. So Dan and the crew said, okay, we're going to try to have a world record number, but we're not going to do the whole Guinness thing.
Sure, again. Sure.
So, but anyway, that's Wednesday. But that's a couple days away. That's like light years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And so opening day is here. And okay, there's a big old NFL football jet out on the plaza right now.
Saw that.
Flew in. And,
how long is that sticking around for?
Just till the end of the air show today.
Okay.
You know, that slot is going to be tomorrow. We're going to have a airliner from Delta, then Independence One coming in from Southwest on Wednesday. So that's going to be, for the first 3 days, kind of the roustabout spot and bring airplanes in at that point.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tons of heavy metal on Boeing Plaza already.
Oh, yeah.
But we were surprised.
Yeah.
Jim missed the C-17 because he spotted the C-5 and looked right past it.
Yeah. Suddenly, you know, yeah, I wonder where the C-17 is because that's a pretty big,
okay. It's hiding under the wing.
Right. But they made the trip from Hickam out in Hawaii, and so good to have them here as well.
Very
and
cool.
Part of the Pacific Air Force's command that we're paying tribute to throughout the week. So, a lot of stuff going on. Probably the biggest thing today for us is EAA. 10:45, right by the Blue Barn, between the Blue Barn Aviation Gateway Park, we're announcing Discovery Park, which is the next evolution of Kid Venture. You know, Kid Venture has been there at Pioneer now for about 20 years. Started out as a small tent behind the museum, and then went over to Pioneer about 20 years ago. And under the tutelage of Dan Mica, and now other volunteer chairs, has just grown and grown and grown and grown. And so we want to make something a little more permanent for a couple of reasons. One, you've got families that have to shuffle off there and then come back to the flight line for the air show. So we want to contain it all on the grounds, have something a little more permanent so you're not putting up tents all the time and so forth. And also, now we'll be able to keep the Pioneer airplanes in the hangar and create something there as well, mm-hmm. instead of yes. schlepping them across every year and putting them out in the weather and what could happen out there. So all of that is part of it, too. So
what would you be displacing there? I'm trying to think.
There's some home-built parking there, so we're kind of rearranging some of the home-built parking.
Right.
Right there, and it's kind of on the...
It's just north of the Blue Barn, right?
Just a little bit west of it.
West of it.
Yeah. West, yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you go off that diagonal road right there, and it's going to be right there.
Okay.
So,
very cool.
We've got some cornerstone gifts on that right now, so that's going to be coming up at 10:45. Stop on by. You'll hear more about that, and Jack Pelton, Margaret Brill will both be there to talk about it, and, big moment for us. It's next evolution of the youth programming.
I'm also interested to see what you're going to do with the space that's been vacated. Then, you mentioned being able to do more Pioneer,
right?
With having the aircraft there and use of that space. That also kind of seems interesting, or at least had lots of possibilities.
It does. I mean, it's just for things you can set up, and let's say we bring other vintage aircraft over there. Can we land them before the show and bring them over there and have that part of the exhibit? So, those things are all... I think there are a lot of dreams right now, a lot of ideas. Yeah. We have to kind of go through to say, okay, what does it really look like when we get to 2027?
Yeah, right? I'm looking forward to that. I think that could be all very cool. I mean, bringing Kidventure down here, making Pioneer its own destination,
there's a lot of possibilities there. So it's
cool ideas.
But so a lot of stuff. Airplanes have been coming in fits and spurts.
There's been, of course, a lot of talk about, it's Monday and the place isn't full yet and all of that sort of stuff. Do you know, where are we at? Percentage-wise, or...
I don't know an exact percentage. I know there are some blank spots out there. And very simple. Smoke.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
And they're trying to fill it in this morning. The ADS-B is lit up with the conga line already,
it is. I mean, they've got a good one, and there's a little bit of weather expected later on today into this evening, so people want to get in here. After that, the forecast looks pretty good. I mean, I think we're in decent shape the rest of the week. A little bit breezy on Tuesday, but, kind of calming down, hopefully. We'll keep it west to southwest on the wind. And keep that smoke to the north. And
we'll get our meteorologists on it. So.
Okay,
two this year.
Tell them just to keep pushing.
You're now going to get a letter from the from Michigan about sending them smoke. So
well,
they're not happy.
We got an event to run, right?
Just I don't disagree.
It's just 1 week, okay? Mm-hmm. So we've got that, campground filling up. That's off and rolling once again. And
smoke hasn't stopped that happening.
No.
It's, not at all.
No, they've created their own campfires out there. And so, that is taking place as well. And coming in. So again, it's taking shape. It's opening day. Every year, I've always said, this thing writes its own story over 7 days.
True.
And this year we introduced a couple new things in the campground regarding vehicles. And I know we talked before we got on the air a little bit about that. Yeah. And there's a history about that. We had a lot of members saying, look, it's getting weird and wild and everything else out there. Something has to be done. And so back last fall, we said, okay, we're taking input from all members. Jack went in the magazine and said, send us your input. And they looked at that. We also looked at other big events. We looked at Sun and Fun and what they do. And they basically ban all conveyances down there in the campground. And we looked at places like the Indy 500. What did they do in their campground in the infield and other big events? And we didn't want to shut it all down like a lot of those events do. They say, you're hoofing it. If you're camping there, you're hoofing it wherever you're going. But there were some decisions that had to be made. Some of them involved, we had some situations last year where some lithium batteries caught fire. Out in the campground. And one situation, there happened to be a firefighter camping next to it who knew how to deal with lithium batteries. Exactly. And so it's something. So it was announced. And the big thing for everybody to remember this year, it's an education year for everybody.
Yeah.
We're going to learn. Everybody else is going to learn. Yeah. Where's the spot?
I had to educate myself on the difference between an e-bike and a scooter.
Yeah.
It's all in my mind, kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
And the difference, and of course, there's all sorts of variations of things that you could qualify as either of those.
Yeah, sure.
And people that have, of course, at this place, made their own.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And how do you classify that?
Yeah,
you know,
the motorized recliner and things like that.
What is that?
Yeah. Fast Eddie's trike.
But municipalities are going through the same things too.
Sure.
And there's actually definitions of if you can pedal it, it then is more of a bicycle.
Sure.
There's that the stand-up scooter, and there's that generic term, much like drones are a generic term all of those unmanned flying vehicles. Scooter has become kind of what this is. And so a lot of it, you'll notice that the speed limit came down 10 miles an hour in the campground this year, and we've got some of those speed things that say this is how fast you're going. And the security is going to be out there and attempting to enforce it. Now, we don't want something where it's, you know, neighbor turning in neighbor or anything like that. But, you know, if there's a problem, we want to know about it. Conversely, if there are any ideas, we want to know about it. And like I said, it's an education year. It's something where we're all going to learn together on this. But you've got to start somewhere. It was referred to me one time. He says, you know, there was one camper said, it's kind of like downtown Bangkok out here, you know, with, everything going around. Yeah.
You know, particularly after like Theater in the Woods or an air show or something. Yes. It
feels
crazy.
Let me see here. If I can get battery-powered tuk-tuk, I could actually make money around here.
Okay. Got to write that down. Tuk-tuk is another thing.
Battery-powered. AI-driven battery-powered.
It's a scooter. Yeah. Just remember, it's a scooter.
Okay. Thanks.
So that's it. But those are some of the things. Air show coming up. Some great stuff coming up later this week. Of course, we can talk more about the Red Arrows when they come in a little bit later this week. The Flying Bulls coming in.
Yep.
Just
concert tonight.
Concert tonight with Tyler Hubbard, so if you're on the grounds. Air Force will swear in some new recruits at 7:30.
That's really cool. Yep.
Have a short program, and then about 8 o'clock, Tyler Hubbard will take the stage for about 60 to 90 minutes. So we're very happy to have him here, and thanks to the Air Force for providing the support. No, it's not the return of the Monday Night Concert. The Air Force is doing this because of America 250.
Very cool. Well, thank you, Dick. See you again tomorrow around this time.
Yep, we'll be here.
All right. Up next, more nonsense. After that, the folks from Ferris. This is the Morning Preflight on EAA Radio.
It's the Morning Preflight with Jim and Tommy.
Are they still allowed on air?
If at least half the population is an angry man, I'm not doing my job.
Wow. Here they are, I guess.
Quick disclaimer, I can't guarantee you won't regret this.
Already am. It's Monday.
Did you just ask me what we're doing?
What are we doing?
We're talking.
Oh.
We're talking.
Talking on the radio. I don't do that much. Honestly, actually, I don't. Yeah, I mean, I only do one actual radio, on-air radio thing per week, and other than that, I'm management now. I'm at that point in my career. So
yes, yes.
I'm far too important to be on the air. Come on.
yes, you are.
All right.
So important. By the way, I we might have gotten stood up for 7:45. I don't know. We'll find out. I got a message from the Ferris folks.
No.
They may be a little late. They had something come up at work this morning.
It's Monday.
Yeah.
Getting things
They're still running
on
a business. We're here screwing around. So.
Right. So in contemplating what to discuss at this moment, at some point, and I dare say several points during the week, there's a certain thing that we're going to have to talk about. Oops, hold on here. Let me get it to do the thing. Hold on. There we go.
Ooh, this is good radio.
It is.
The suspense is building.
Here we go, and...
What was that? Did not understand that.
You wouldn't.
Okay.
All right.
Am I...
This is the aviation nerdiest of nerds.
Okay.
This is the game that I believe is made by Flight Radar.
Okay.
Called Sky Cards.
Okay.
And it uses the flight radar data and has made a game out of it. And this is, if you look like the amount of uses of this.
Are we sponsored by this?
No.
Go on. I'm listening.
No, it's,
you have me intrigued.
So it uses the flight radar thing and you quote capture these planes, but they're things that are in your area and they have different like missions, like try and find a plane over 35,000 feet. Try and find a plane that's traveling under 100 knots. Try and find a plane that is tail dragger that's more than 50 years old and things like that. And
so it's Pokemon Go for the airplane
100%
nerds.
That. Yeah,
that's exactly what it
is. 100% that.
Yep.
And yeah.
So instead of gyms, they have hangars or what?
No, there's airports. Like, okay. See, you can hear me clicking on
yes.
aircraft oh, as I go here.
Yes.
I could probably turn the volume
little,
down.
You
on
could turn
thing
down here. A little bit, yeah.
But you get more points the rarer the aircraft it is. Huh. And this place is a dang gold mine for this kind of stuff, trying to find stuff. And if you look on here, Tommy, I'm going to show you this as I explain it to you. If you watch the planes blinking mm-hmm. that are on here, every time that plane blinked is because somebody caught it while it, you know, in real time. This is all in real time. So you can see these planes blinking. That's because somebody captured it in their Sky Cards game. And if you click on it, like...
So what are the parameters around catching? Do I have to be close enough
yes.
from...
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So you have to be nearby. So, like, for example, there is a... let me see here. Let's find a nice rare one here. There we go. Here's a Cessna 195.
Okay.
That just turned on base for 3-6.
Sure.
In real time. It tells me where it came from. It came in from Baraboo. There's its end number. I have not caught this plane yet because it says that it's new. And it is a ultra rare aircraft. And I can click on the data and it tells me all this information about it. There's about 200 of these 195s that are known to exist.
Sure.
All the data on it. And then if I decide I want to try and do the catch, I have to be able to catch it inside of there as it flies past. And there I caught it. And I got it 100% in my frame with no clouds. And when there's a lot of activity there, you get clear sky because sometimes there'll be a cloud cover.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And if you notice all of the clear sky areas in the area here, that's because people are using this. And if I pull this out nationwide, you can see that there is not many of those in the country, but they're all right there because that's where people are playing Sky Cards.
Sky Cards, huh?
Yeah.
And obviously available on Android. What about iPhone?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
iPhone? Oh, yep. Everybody's playing it.
Exactly.
Cool.
I believe it is available on iPhone as well.
Cool.
Because I know
hopefully
a lot of
our video folks will splash that up on the screen.
Yeah. And it is entertaining as heck. And, you know, you can, it keeps track of, like, how many aircraft you've caught and the things that you haven't caught and found. And there's, again, common things. So there's a billion 172s out there, so you don't get very many points for capturing 172s. But you can also then, how many airports have you gotten? Because you know, every time I capture an aircraft, I can then count that their
originating airport
or their destination. So, either one of those. So how many airports have you gotten in there? And
how long have you been playing this, Jim? You seem very excited.
Just
about it.
After AirVenture last year.
Oh, okay.
And I was kicking myself when we first did that. I'm like, oh my god, this would be great to have an Oshkosh. but it's one of those things that it's a little bit of a time suck because that's what these things are. But for the aviation enthusiast, mm-hmm. and you can travel, so you're only able to see your area, but you can travel to an airport that you have captured a plane from. So if I've captured a plane that came in from Tokyo, I can now go to Tokyo and use a token ticket to go there, and now I can sit in Tokyo for 30 minutes and capture
an aircraft
there.
Tokyo or a landing in Tokyo.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And now I'm sitting in Tokyo and I capture aircraft coming in from Shanghai.
So you bring this up on Monday morning.
Yes.
You do this pitch.
Yeah.
You realize we're going to lose half our staff to this time suck, right?
We already
It's going to be the new bubble shooter, but, you know, much worse because they'll be walking around doing it and... Yeah, well, exactly.
So,
we had a producer swap out, but Libby's running the board right now, and she's saying, I'm the one that showed it to him. So.
She did.
Yes.
She did.
Great. Thank you. He needs more distractions. My God.
But, unlike with, looking at flight radar, mm-hmm. Or, using flight radar's actual app, mm-hmm. I actually get faster and better information using the flight radar game Sky Cards. So like when we're looking at this and I want to know what's coming in and if there's something interesting in that glows red because it's rare, so I can find like that right there looks there. So there's a mm-hmm. Rutan Cozy that's classified as an ultra rare because it's red. And I can also see who is capturing planes by finding this one's constantly blinking. So since this cozy pulled into the airspace, it's been hit. Look at the number of times. 431, 432. This is,
wow.
People are just keep 433. People keep hitting that one as it's coming in there. There are thousands and thousands of users on that. And if you are actually in Oshkosh and trying to find rare aircraft on this thing, this is the place to be for sure.
There you go. So what's the rarest one you've caught?
There's a lot of singles. So,
sure.
I caught a single yesterday. I'm trying to remember what it was. But I mean, there's a lot of single aircraft that are out there. I mean, Fifi is there's only two B-29s and stuff.
Sure.
I'm trying to think of some of the other ultra rare things. There was a South African experimental that I got yesterday. There's only four that exist, and there's only one in the U.S. and that one was here. So there was it's a aircraft nerd Pokemon Go kind of scenario, and it's kind of cool just to see what's around you at any time. You pull that app up, it shows you all the aircraft that are around you currently. There's a Skycarts Discord where they're like, "Ooh, hey, this is over here,"
nice,
and that sort of stuff. So it depends on how nerdy you want to get with it, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But like literally every time you're like, so I wonder what the ADS-B is looking like. I don't go to the ADS-B feed. I just pull up Skycards.
You never get to call me a nerd again. Just saying, not never again. That said, I'll install this the minute we get off the air, right? Yeah, yeah. I'll be putzing around.
And you can be friends. Sure. You can battle your friends. Ooh. Wait,
how do I?
So the
battle work?
So I don't know what it is. I think we're in slow week right now. I think it is. So they'll have a thing where you find five aircraft that you've got, and the challenge is slow. So you're going to have to find something that is in the ultra rare category and find your slowest aircraft to play against my opponent's slowest aircraft.
See
who has gotten that, or the sometimes it's the airliner week, so you're picking off different airliners and for different features, factors. Basically, it's being able to say, I've got a bunch more aircraft and cards to play against yours, and that sort of stuff. So
military week, is that this week?
Oh, it's military. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's right. It's Monday, so it just switched. So we're in military week now.
Well,
so
good place.
So that's your battle things you can do there, and you can see what your friends are. You can have friends on there.
Interesting.
So you can see what your friends and how you compare to them. Just so you know, I've got about 600 aircraft or so in my
stuff. Maybe this is how we get Fast Eddie to pay attention to his phone once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that'll work either.
Yeah. There's airplanes on it, maybe.
Right. But it's entertaining, and if you are ever to think you wanted to engage in that game, this is the place to do it. Although it's going to get depressingly slow when you leave here, comparatively so.
Oh, good stuff. Dave and Eddie have a bunch of cool guests today. You can check them out later.
Nice.
Despite the fact Eddie will still be there, it should be okay. It'll be good, right, Eddie? And he's making faces at me, as he usually does around this time each morning. Up next, though, we may be talking to the folks from Ferris. They're running a little behind. They have a business to run. So,
Like I said, it's AirVenture Monday.
Yeah.
Everybody's still trying to get stuff in order.
Yeah, I've been in and out of the studio all morning trying to make things work.
Ditto.
So, yeah. Exactly. All right. Talk to you in a bit. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EA Radio.
You're listening to the Morning Pre-Flight. Doing the most to do the least.
I don't want to do the work. Other people need to do the work for me.
Hello. Holy crud. We got third string producers this morning, I tell you. No cue. Doesn't pot us up.
Right.
What's happening? I want other people to do
Monday.
The work for me, for crying out loud. That's why we have producers, so I can do nothing.
Looking at my Skycards.
Hey, I'm busy. I'm trying to install Skycards.
Okay.
Quiet over there.
Just looking at my stats. So, I have 518 aircraft and 580 airports.
Nice.
That I've captured thus far. I'm level 25, for the record. I don't know where you guys stand over there. When I'm checking with my producer. Oh,
23?
She's 23. But you're not too far behind. That's right.
Nice.
And it's something I do casually is
sure,
you know, and especially like when, you know, I travel a decent amount and like, huh, I wonder what's around here right now kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was great when I was traveling in Asia. I could, you know, I didn't have to use any of my tickets to see what was buzzing around Bangkok because I was in Bangkok, you know?
Yeah, fair.
Right. But yeah. So I don't know. Do any of our listeners that are SkyCards user, please go ahead and flex. You can post that up in the chat.
Tap on the YouTube chat. Just go to eradio.net and look for the live stream link. Mm-hmm. You can join you'll see the YouTube there. You can jump in the chat, etc. You can text us at 920-550-1210. That's 920-550-1210. That shows up right in the studio. Or if you're on Blue Sky, you can certainly add us at eradio.net or hashtag Osh26. We see them all. So
there are there's also a list of users per airport, like who's been getting the most in that airport in this past week.
Mm-hmm.
the current top three for the Oshkosh Whitman Regional Airport. Number three is Rutabaga. Rutabaga has 187,000 experience points. I understand that you're going to get between 2,000 to 7,000 per aircraft. Trauma Pajama, though, is at over 200,000, and Zugzwang is over almost 500,000 just nice. In the past 7 days here. So these are people that are, I'm sure, just kind of basically sitting there pounding away at this. So.
I just captured my first plane.
Aw.
100% framing, 81% clouds.
Oh, see, you got to get rid of the clouds, buddy. You got to wait for it to be clear.
I know. Oh, now they're here to interrupt my game playing. What the heck?
That's what we do best.
Nice.
Come on in.
All right.
Okay.
So, you know, we were talking about you kind of adjacently, because I heard that yesterday was National Ice Cream Day.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
And I mentioned that somewhere, I can't remember, I think it was somewhere in Vegas, I had a popcorn shake, ice cream shake.
No way.
Yes.
What?
And I literally, as I was having this, I'm like, this sounds like something Ferris would be doing.
We do. I do wish you? We were we don't in do Vegas shakes. Doing it.
I know, that would be much more fun, I think. But right. What's better than being at Airventure.
Right?
Nothing. Right. But we do popcorn sundaes, and so we
nice.
Yes. So we don't do shakes, but we do soft serve ice cream with popcorn on mm-hmm. the top. So what we do, we kind of make a parfait out of it and put the popcorn at the bottom. We may be bringing you guys one later this week.
Okay.
Nice. You don't have to give hints.
No. You have to trial it, and then you can compare, see which one's better.
Yes, I will say that my only complaint with the shake that I made was that when they blended the shake, it kind of chopped up the popcorn sure. a little bit too
oh,
much.
Oh yeah, they blended it with the popcorn.
Yeah, so
odd.
It was a little odd. But
yeah,
the flavor was probably there. I made oatmeal absolutely. Like that.
Really?
Yeah, she was on a very
Stay
big kick
for next year.
Maybe not.
Yeah, overnight oats.
Oh,
you can do weird. You can do weird things with popcorn.
Yeah. Well, that's like your business model, right? Weird things with
it
popcorn.
Is. Yeah, it is.
That should be our tagline.
You're on to something.
Yeah, that really should be.
Yeah.
But you can like make flour with popcorn.
That's basically what that. I would do.
Yeah. 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 Where they just mill it up.
Yeah.
Fine enough,
which I don't know if she can get behind things easier than I can with stuff like that. But
well, you can make like
a
gluten-free
yeah.
kind of thing. You know?
Oh yeah.
It's one of the things with popcorn is people that are, you know, gluten sensitive that need that kind of carby type snack.
Mm-hmm. It really does. Almost all of our flavors, I would say 97% of our flavors are gluten free. Mm-hmm. If they have gluten, it's like an obvious one, like cookies
sure.
or
right.
Yeah. We have over 350 flavors, and I think six-ish have gluten. So,
yeah,
you can do the math.
Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah, not for me.
For me,
I do radio. I don't do math.
Yeah. No. All
right. Very cool. So, yes, we are joined by the folks from Ferris Popcorn and Ferris Gourmet Popcorn.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
get it right.
Because there is a difference. It does. Mm-hmm. It absolutely does. So let's first of all talk about where you are at, because you've been kind of moving and growing as the years go by. So This year, what's going on?
We have a lot going on. So this is our fourth year, actually, as a partner with Air Venture. So we are stationed at Ultralight. So we really love like the Twilight Fest there. Mm-hmm. That's really big with our stand. It's
the
really
hot air
fun.
Balloons.
The hot air balloons.
Very cool.
So over there we have our popcorn, the ice cream sundaes, and is that it there?
Yeah.
We're doing like fresh lemonade and iced tea, cold brew there too this year. Just a little refreshing, even though it's going to be like a cooler year. Apparently, we're ramping up for like last year. I think the humidity is gonna. I think it's gonna trick us all.
Yeah,
but
it
come
always
on.
Does.
When you have popcorn, you have to have a beverage with it. So
true.
I don't know if we want to use this for today, but at some point I was going to be like, "Who's your popcorn sommelier that says what pairs well with this?"
We have pairings. Yes,
we do.
We've done pairings.
We've gone to events where we do like the perfect pair, and it. Normally it's like a golf outing, so we like do a play on par.
Nice.
Yes, but we do. We normally pick like 6-7 flavors, and then we'll pair it with our favorite drinks, alcoholic and non-alcoholic, because there are great options for both. And and then we just like to do the different flight pairings with everything.
Flight pairings. Okay. I think we're on to something again.
Yeah.
Look at all these ideas already.
I know.
This is what we do.
Yeah. The ideas room.
We are a marketing machine. Come on.
Yes. We're at Ultralight again, and we are at Home Builds again this year, too. And we have an additional... stand at Home Builds too.
Okay.
So bringing lighter, more refreshing natural things, smoothies, electrolyte drinks, things that we are always looking for every year, just kind of keep us going throughout the week and the days. So
trail mix, and we have jumbo pickles.
Yeah.
And
the pickles, pickled juice.
And we have bottled up
the
pickle juice.
Do you like pickle juice?
Not on its own, I'll say, but...
Myself, not so much, but I people in my family are just nuts for it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I like pickle-flavored things, though. I'm a big fan of that, but...
I like dill. I hate the vinegar. So, if you like dill-flavored things...
Our production manager is the same.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really? Yeah.
We've done...
Oh, that's the best part.
We have two dill pop... We have a dill pickle popcorn, and then we have one without vinegar that we just call dill because it's so much dill.
See, I could do that.
It's
I could do that.
Very big dill.
Yeah. But we didn't realize how much we're into pickle juice either. We were at a food show, an expo a couple years ago, and we really learned a lot about pickle juice and the benefits that it has, and it's actually... Just the natural state of it is better for you with your like muscle relief and hydration, rehydration.
The sodium and stuff,
Yes, so it's actually just great, and it's a little like shot, 2.5 ounce shot. That's all you really need. If you're my 4-year-old daughter, I think she had like 12 ounces of it yesterday.
Oh my god!
So.
We had like those large deli containers, and she and I were just taking big swigs out of it. And then I got in trouble for giving her too much.
Last night at our camp, Myanda camp, we had dill pickle moonshine.
Oh,
that is why I stayed away from that end of camp.
Wow.
It was not good. It's not good.
Maybe you need to chase it.
I don't know.
It was
mixed
okay.
reviews.
We're hearing. Yeah.
Mixed reviews.
You maybe needed a pickle juice shot to chase that.
Pretty much. Well, yeah. As they're like, you know, trying to chug this stuff down and not chug, but, you know, take shots with like, maybe this will help my cramps. Like pickle juice will.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
No. That's what I would say.
I mean, maybe not. I don't know. They got me at the food show with that. That's how I got onto it, because we were on day 3 of this show, just walking around, and my calf started cramping up. So, like, we were in an air-conditioned building, everything.
I was like, get with it.
The girl was like, try this. I'm like, okay. And within 5 minutes, I was like, wow, this is great.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say steer away from the moonshine. For
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Her husband did take some of ours to pair with some Jose Cuervo later. So,
yeah, that's true.
I can see that.
Yeah.
So, what is the flavor of the day that we have?
Okay, so do you want to do this blindly and try to guess the flavor?
We have like 1 minute.
We have 1 minute. So, okay, not blind today.
Not today.
Yeah, we'll okay, we brought you a couple things. I'm going to try to not do this into the microphone.
Oh, no. Makes great radio.
ASMR. Just like,
wait till we start chewing into the mics. It'll be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we have the first thing. Oh, my gosh.
Do you need like help opening it? Just tear it open.
I'm trying. Weak hands, apparently.
So we prepackage all of our stuff for here just to keep the fresh.
Do you want each of
the
best?
Sure. No. God, no. If I email this, I'm going to
put it your own what?
Yeah.
So we have... Okay, you go ahead.
You go ahead. No,
well,
go
you
ahead.
Tell me what you're seeing.
What do you think it is?
And feeling.
Rice Krispie treat, but made with popcorn?
Yes.
Entirely?
Ding, ding, ding.
Interesting. Nice. Interesting.
With like this mini marshmallows.
Always.
Mini marshmallows make everything better.
Oh, that was a nice
That's a great crunch.
That was me.
Yes.
Yeah, he's real good. Oh.
Yes, there it is.
Too much.
That's what we love to hear.
Yeah, mouth sounds are great for the radio. My goodness. This is great.
Thank you.
I've had a lot of the flavors that you guys have. My wife and I literally went shopping and grabbed like all the trial
stuff.
Oh my gosh, there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We did the Christmas calendar this year. We did that.
Fun.
Was cool. Super fun. I've not had one of these though. These are great. So
I don't think we've
How do you get the hulls out of that before you make it? There's no hulls in that.
Kind of amazing.
Fun fact, there is no true hull-less popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing hull-less, it's like puff corn.
Yeah, that's
fair stuff. Close,
yes.
I'll say.
But this, we have, we use four different types of seeds.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about, Allie does our purchasing, so she.
We use four different types of seeds, and we're really particular with it. So we don't try to choose popcorn that has hard hulls, because we ourselves and our dad always just would get it stuck in his teeth, and he
I still have my tonsils, that's what kills me. So.
Oh, I think I do too.
Yeah, I hate it, and then it gets caught. So
in your tonsils?
Good for that. Yes, yes. The hulls just like hang
hulls
on
aren't
there.
That
it's terrible.
Big.
No, not yours. That's what I'm saying. I don't even know how to respond to that. I'll tell you what, let's talk more about this tomorrow. Thanks for coming in, folks.
Thank you.
We'll be back later. Hot starts up next. This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EA Radio.